This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. It's time now for our Africa update. This week, we remember South Africa's anti-apartheid crusader, Helen Suzman. Plus, Ethiopian peacekeeping troops leave Somalia as violence escalates. For the latest, we've got Roxanne Lawson. She's director of Africa policy for Trans-Africa Forum. Hi, Roxanne.
Hello, Farai.
So let's talk about the celebrated anti-apartheid campaigner, Helen Suzman. She died on New Year's Day, 91 years old, not someone necessarily that a lot of Americans would know about, but she was the only white lawmaker for years to condemn the whites-only regime. And she spoke with NPR in 1993, a few months before South Africa's first multiracial elections.
Trying to maintain segregation in an integrated economy was absolutely hopeless, and it meant terrible disaster to the lives of millions of people. Naturally, bitterness built up over the years, and black resistance escalated, and that's why the government over and over again had to introduce states of emergency.
So tell us a little bit more about Suzman and why people want to keep her memory alive.
Well, Helen Suzman is actually quite an inspiration to many South Africans, regardless of race. She was, at 36 years, a member of parliament, elected and stayed and held her seat during the worst parts of apartheid, when the government's, you know, total security onslaught had displaced most white activists who were fighting against apartheid from being able to have any political voice. Suzman maintained her parliamentary seat and spoke out against police torture, abuses in prisons, herself visiting Robben Island several times around the cruelty of apartheid, and was really a very prominent voice speaking against apartheid and the only one to have any kind of political weight within the apartheid system within South Africa.
How did she make sense of South African politics post-apartheid? What did she see when she looked out at the nation?
I think, like many people who were part of the struggle to end apartheid, she was critical of the ANC government for their shortcomings, for the lack of reform of education, for some of the lack of political and economic disbursement among the different classes in South Africa, and spoke out often and frequently about the need for South Africans post-apartheid to really deal with economic and social implications of apartheid and the kind of unwritten rules that existed politically and socially within South Africa. She was critical of the ANC government for not living up in many ways to what the people had struggled for in South Africa, and was among still a progressive and powerful voice within South Africa.
Well, when we look at party politics in South Africa, there are some new kids on the block, or rather experienced politicians on the block. The former ANC defense minister has helped to start a new political party, the Congress of the People, or COPE. What is that about?
Well, COPE essentially is a splinter of the ANC, and they say that they're trying to actually bring the ANC back, or bring South Africa back, to the real demands of post-apartheid voices in South Africa. And so they've come together to be a kind of anchor and an alternative power force against the ANC. I think for those of us looking at South African politics, both in and outside of South Africa, it's a very exciting and interesting thing to witness, to see the ways in which political transformation are happening in South Africa as it moves further and further into, I guess, its out of its political infancy into the next political phase. The kind of show up of COPE on the scene is actually something that's really very powerful and positive. It'll make the ANC, I think, more accountable to its constituencies, much more on guard around the need for the lack of political autonomy or political accountability to people in South Africa. I think that the ANC is a really wonderful and beautiful thing, but that it needs to have a counterbalance, and COPE may play that role.
All right, let's move on to the Horn of Africa, where yesterday there was fresh fighting between Somali insurgents and government soldiers. Ethiopian troops that have been protecting the UN-backed government there have started pulling out, and Uganda also has threatened to withdraw peacekeepers. What does this really mean on the ground for people who are in the region?
Well, on the ground, for the average Somali, it's even more exasperating. As many people know, over 80,000 people have been displaced in the last 2 years. 60,000 have been killed. 30,000 are injured and suffering from a myriad of health problems. Many of the people who are displaced are actually now twice displaced, first from the capital city of Mogadishu and now from towns, neighboring towns in and around Somalia. Practically what this is that the Ethiopian troops, although they've missed their deadline for withdrawal, are trying to withdraw from the country of Somalia, since their occupation is very unpopular with Somalis. Somalis want to govern themselves and want to have the right to be politically autonomous, and they feel that the role of Ethiopia and its backing by the U.S. government is keeping them from doing that. But with their withdrawal comes increased fighting. The Somali insurgent forces, some of which are organized, some of which are not organized, are taking over bases that Ethiopian troops are evacuating. And for the African Union forces, who are mostly, almost all, from Uganda and Burundi, they feel like they're unable to do their jobs as peacekeepers and want the ability to be able to protect Somalis by using force.
I want to make sure that we at least briefly touch on what is the road ahead in Africa policy and for the continent. So maybe a good place to start is with this region, with East Africa, with Somalia. What might help stabilize not only Somalia, but some of the other regional governments?
Well, in the Horn of Africa, Somalia in particular, for us as Trans-Africa Forum, we think that the U.S. needs to stop backing Ethiopia and Ethiopia aggression in the region. Right now, the Ethiopian government is run by a dictator, which many Ethiopians are critical of. The opposition party in Ethiopia has been in prison since the elections a few years ago. And so we think that a change in U.S. foreign policy toward Ethiopia will help both the people of Ethiopia, the people of Somalia, and help to stabilize the region. There's also a role for the United Nations to play, to continue to provide material assistance and aid to the people who've been displaced, to the people who are imprisoned. And that's an important place to start. Looking across the continent in Southern Africa, focus on Zimbabwe and on the neighboring countries still needs to happen. As the African Union works to resolve the problem in Zimbabwe, we as international community need to support that resolution, both politically and militarily. But economically as well, and not militarily. I think in North Africa, where we've had a really nice election in Ghana that was peaceful through and through, we need to support more democratization processes like that and look to the continent to actually have new leadership over the next year. 2009, I think, will be a really important year for both regional bodies in the continent and for individual countries. We have many elections coming up.
Just very quickly, what do you think is the industry or industries that might bring some economic good news to the continent?
Well, I think, unfortunately, right now, most of the industries on the continent have only brought economic bad news because of the inequity of trade and of the very large debt burden, which hasn't been canceled. I think that in 2009, if we can, through U.S. Congress, have a really nice African Growth and Opportunity Act, which is better than the past iterations that have really focused on oil, gas and mining, and actually have some diversity where real economic development can happen on the continent, then we're looking at really increased sectors and across the continent. And so we're looking at some structural changes in the way in which we do mining with the continent, both international corporations and the United States, as we support our corporations investing on the continent. A shift in investment. Go ahead.
Unfortunately, we have to wrap up here. But Roxanne, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Roxanne Lawson is Director of Africa Policy for Trans-Africa Forum, and she was at our headquarters in Washington.